Welcome to the Blockchain Practitioners Podcast. On this podcast, we try to learn something new about an industry that will, in a few years, affect the lives of us all. I'm Stella, and I'm your host for this episode. Today, I have the pleasure to speak with Emre Bilgute. At only 17 years old, Emre is revolutionizing the space and making a name for himself in the industry. He's the co-founder of Crypto Executive, the largest C-level Web3 community worldwide, a co-founder of DAO Fund, an advisor and trader. In this very introspective episode, Emre talks about his experience getting into the space and his vision for the next 17 years. Hi, Emre. Welcome to the Blockchain Practitioners Podcast. Thank you so much for making it to the show. How are you today?
I'm doing fantastic, Stella. Thank you so much for having me here. How are you doing today?
My pleasure. I'm good. Back in Malta, the sun is shining, everything's fine. And you're based in Dubai, right?
Yeah, Dubai. I'm sure the weather is much worse here than it is in sunny Malta.
Yeah. But I think in Dubai, for crypto, because I was just there, like 1 or 2 weeks ago, it's just the place to be, right? There's everyone there, and it must be super, I mean, much more stimulating than living in Malta.
Definitely. I mean, I think crypto in Dubai is, I think, one of the centers of the world. You see these big corporations, big Web3-based companies moving their headquarters here. And it's super hospitable to networking. I'm sure you've noticed in your stay here as well.
Yes. Everyone is so open and you can really speak with everyone. I mean, everyone, there are amazing people and also a bit less amazing people, like a lot of scammers as well. So, yeah. And so how long have you been living in Dubai?
I've been here for just a few months, under 8 months, 8 years, okay. Sorry. So I've been here since 2015, so a pretty long time. I've been here since, you know, like way back when all these infrastructure projects began, and, you know, seeing them finish, it feels like I'm getting old being here. But, you know, been through a few summers, not advising anyone to do that. It's super hot in the summers. Even now, it's just getting into November. It's very hot. But yeah, I've been here for 8 years, and it's very nice.
Yeah. It's funny that you mentioned that you feel kind of old, because I think, well, you're definitely not. And this is the whole point of this podcast, right? So, Emre, can you please introduce yourself for our listeners and tell us a little bit about you, about how old you are, and maybe how you started into crypto?
Definitely. So, yeah, first of all, I'm 17 years old. I think that's the biggest aspect of it. So my journey into crypto is, I think, pretty unique and interesting, and it may be a bit more of a resonating thing to other people that are maybe trying to enter right now. So, at the moment, I am the co-founder and CBDO of Crypto Executives. Very simplified, it is the biggest C-level network in the industry. So we are partnered and connected with a whole host of different kinds of Web3-based companies, ranging from VCs to chains to those exchanges, startups, launchpads, all that stuff. And also currently developing and being a co-founder of DAO Fund, which is a venture capital that we are developing to begin investments into early stage startups. So that's simply what I do in a very simplified aspect. In terms of how I got into this space, it's actually a very interesting thing. So I got introduced to Bitcoin, first of all, right? You know, those videos you see online of people making a lot of money, you know, trading coins. So I got victim to those. Maybe not the best start. So I started to see these people making a lot of money using, you know, crypto. So me being the, you know, 13-year-old, I just...
13-year-old.
Oh yeah, it was back in 2019. So it's just like, you know, I was already into making money. I was doing online methods of, you know, income. But when I saw crypto, you know, I clicked. I was like, oh, wow, you know, this is interesting. So I did what any 13-year-old would do. I used my dad's information to make a Binance account. And I started trading cryptocurrency. Initially, I obviously got liquidated a few times, lost a good chunk of money. I didn't know how to trade. But eventually, I started to make some good money. You know, the 2021 bull market came around the corner, and, you know, profits were really high on every aspect. So during this time, I wanted to adventure a bit more into this space, right? Because I also was learning much more about what DeFi, Web3, and blockchain is. And I really understood that there was much more to this space than what we already have, and saw a much bigger future, both in the adoption side of what blockchain is technically. So what I did is, I had a very close friend, right? Very interesting story. He was technically speaking, the person that we are very close friends with. My family's been very close friends with this person, and he's been in the Web3 space for a very long time. So what we did is, he knew that I was interested, and he took me to a few events, right? So just a few events. he introduced me to a few people. You know, me being very young, I was like, you know, I'm this old, I've done this much stuff, can you give me an opportunity? So I didn't really care what other people thought of me, because I knew like I had nothing to lose of talking to random people and asking them for an opportunity. Pretty sad, but I guess that's what I did. And what happened is I probably asked around 40 to 50 people in these events. I did not know these qualities or anything of what these people were. I just knew that they were working in Web3. And one person, just one person came back, literally just one. And he said, you know, let's meet for sushi. Let's get some food. Let's talk. So, you know, me being loud, you know, my heart's beating, you know, like going in the road, you know, going to the meetup. And, you know, we talked about it. He told me his plans of crypto executives. He talked a lot about blockchain, the future of it, his vision. And eventually I got integrated into what he's doing. So that's what, well, generally how I got into the space. But I think after I got into space, the next steps are also very crucial to the development of, well, technically anyone. So
okay, but hold up. I just want to go back to how you got into the space again, because you mentioned that you used your dad's details to create the Binance account. How crazy is this? Because right now it's kind of very difficult to imagine with all the KYC procedures, but I guess back then it was just super easy.
Yeah.
But did he agree? Did he know about it?
Of course you knew about it. I had to take his passport, you know, receipts of the address and everything.
Okay.
So he knew, but he was very speculative of how much I put in, you know?
Okay.
Like, how much money am I going to give my, you know, 13-year-old son initially?
So he was supporting you. Your family was supporting you always in this crypto thing?
Always, yeah. I think initially my family were supportive, but they didn't really see myself too much in the space initially. But in the crypto side, they were helping me as much as possible. They bought me a few books on trading initially.
Wow.
Had mentorship with some guys that he knew. And also just helped me with just scheduling, I guess, a bit of consultation hours with some few people that could help with me in the initial steps. But they've always been, you know, very supportive, apart from doing the homework. You know, homework came before that. But they were relatively supportive as well, initially and also now.
Did you finish your... Mm-hmm. Okay, so school was still first before all of the events and the crypto stuff. Did they force you to have like good grades and stuff, or it was just like, yeah, just pass and go?
I mean, my parents are pretty chill when it comes to school, but if I had to do something related to school and I wanted to do something in like crypto, they would always say like, okay, you have to do school first, and then like as a bit of a leverage, you know, if you finish the homework, you can do as much as crypto you want, you know? That's the leverage they used on me. But they didn't really care out after the school stuff what I did. So they were also helping me on my ambitions when it came to crypto and blockchain.
Mm-hmm. And are they also involved in the space or not? Trying to understand where did you pick it up, this interest for finances and for everything, well, digital?
Yeah. So my father actually had made an investment into a Web3 company back in 2015. So this was way back then. So that is where initially the only reason why my father looked into crypto, and then eventually I looked into crypto. Because I mean, I did see some videos on Bitcoin when I, you know, back in 2019, but the main reason that I actually took that forward was because there was already something to relate to with actually what my father is doing with what he had invested into. So that's how we generally got into it, honestly, because my dad had been pretty closely connected as an angel investor into a Web3-based company since 2015. And from there forward, you know, him being an investor in the space, he really just said, you know, he was already supportive of the fact that me going into the Web3 space.
Cool, fantastic. Because for some people, it's a bit harder. Parents don't understand, or sometimes are afraid that, you know, this crypto is a scam thing. To be honest, even my family is not that supportive of me being crypto. That's why it's amazing if you got to have like already this support from your family. But yeah, then do continue. You were talking about what you're developing in the space and what happened after you joined and your vision.
Definitely, yeah. So right now, so I'm the co-founder of Crypto Executives and CBDO of Crypto Executives, basically the biggest C-level network in the industry. So it's basically a network.
How many members do you have already?
We've passed 1,500 C-levels, right? Just a few days ago. So it's a very big milestone. We've doubled in size since only June. So pretty good growth on that side. And basically, it's just very diversified with Web3 companies. So like the big chains, many VCs, launchpads, hundreds of startups. So that's the network, and network is very important in this space. So we bring those C-levels together into one area to connect and to talk and to add value, share resources, which is a very valuable thing. On top of this, what we also do is we advise companies, we help companies in various of aspects depending on their needs that can vary. And we also are currently developing our own fund itself, DAO Fund, which is going to be community-driven. And we're going to begin investing into Web3 startups ourselves as well with the knowledge that we've acquired with all these connections.
Okay, I see. And what drives you? What drives you in this crypto and blockchain space? I mean, you mentioned that in the beginning it was mostly the speculative side of things, but I guess now with everything that you're doing, it got more than that. So what exactly is it?
Yeah, great question. So initially, obviously, you know, speculation was the main thing, but after I learned a bit more of the space itself, I understood that this is a necessity for this blockchain technology to completely be adopted by the world itself because of the problems it solves. You know, not only for me, but for many families around the world. Most people are taking victim to the current problems of the traditional financial system, I think. So seeing blockchain adoption take place, I think, is just going to be the best thing and best scenario for everyone. In that case, my real passion nowadays is to help this vision. So with the connections, with the network that we have built, I am trying my best to help the people that are actually working to help this blockchain adoption take place and be a catalyst to this adoption. So that's currently my passion, to help those people build their things to help adoption take place sooner or later.
That's fantastic, because you're truly building the world that you want to live in. I mean, this technology is pretty young, but since you're also pretty young, it's like you're growing together with it and helping it grow.
Yeah, it's like a big brother, you know?
Yeah, kind of. But who is the big brother in this relationship, though?
That's a good one.
Because you're learning from crypto, the crypto world is developing through you. It's kind of a...
It's kind of like a dilemma. Interesting one. I must think of that. But I'm saying crypto as of now, because crypto brought me to the place I am today. I like to think of it that way, when I had nothing to something. So, but yeah, we can see.
Uh-huh. And even if now you're not so driven anymore by the speculative side of things, I believe that you're still trading, right?
Yeah. I'm still trading pretty actively. So I was doing day trading back in the day. And, you know, that is very stressful. If I had continued doing that, I would probably have gray hair at the moment. It's very stressful. I think those that do it can relate. So I'm still trading, not as consistently. I'm just doing a bit of a breakout trading kind of thing. And eventually, especially now as the market's kind of gone down, that's an opportunity. I think most people are not understanding that once there's crisis, that's actually an opportunity. So just building those positions, building those spot buys and making a nice portfolio for the next big run, which I do expect to be the biggest cycle that we have seen.
So, Emre, let me get this straight. You're part of you co-founded the Crypto Executive Group, which is the biggest C-level group in Web3 in the world. You also you're also involved in DAO Fund, which is a VC, and you're also a crypto trader, and you're 17.
Yeah, simply put.
And so how do your friends your age react to that? Do you think that they realize what you're doing?
Yeah. So I have a lot of friends. Well, in my inner circle, I don't have too many. I think I go always quality over quantity. But especially on the square of friends, I think most of the people caught on to what I was doing back when I started off, because I'm the kind of person to share everything I do. I'm very talkative. I'm just like, oh, you know, I started crypto. Oh, look, I'm trading. Oh, look, guys, this, just to like convey the information and knowledge that I've gone through to other people. And basically what my friends really reacted on is, you know, I always try to tell them that, like, this is what you guys need to be looking into. Because either way, you guys will be forced to learn this when it actually happens, which is inevitable, in my opinion. So some friends actually read into it, reading books. They're actually, some of them are trading now. Some other friends, I'm actually getting them onto my crypto executives as interns.
Wow.
Very smart friends, you know, because loyalty is very important.
You're a good friend. You're a great friend.
Well, I don't like to think that way, but definitely. I mean, if you say so. But yeah, it's. I think my friends really appreciate it. And generally speaking, I think what I'm trying to do as well is just to help the people that are also generally good people, because I think that's what is most important. Helping the people that actually deserve it. You know, that's a very important thing. Like, for example, I was helped when I didn't really have anything, right? From the person who brought me into this. And now, technically speaking, I owe him everything, right? So I'm also trying to give that same privilege to the other people that also deserve it, maybe just even more than me, that are in my friend's square. So yeah, most of them were impressed. Most of them have asked me for help. And I have very nice helping hand and very generous on that front. So over time, I hope to see all of them at least integrate into some part of crypto, at least know what it is, so that it's a bit more of a sustainable thing for them to know for the future that I think that we will eventually end up in.
Yeah, but that's definitely not what the typical 17-year-old does on a daily basis, right? Most teenagers today, and even adults, are just, you know, watching social medias, watching series, and not necessarily educating themselves on crypto or blockchain, which in a few years is potentially going to change their life. So props to you, first of all, for taking the step, and mostly for taking more people with you along on the journey, because it's a beautiful one. I think it's super impressive.
Thank you so much. Yeah, it's you know, with the approach as well, it's actually very interesting, because most of the people that want to enter the space, it's pretty difficult. And generally speaking as well, like back a year ago, I would like to consider myself relatively similar to the rest of the people, but I think most people don't understand that age is actually a very big opportunity. Like most people say, you know, I'm 16, right? Or I'm 15. I don't need to worry because I'm not of age yet, but you will be of that age yet at some point in time. Right. So eventually you will be at a certain age where you would need to be responsible with the things you do. And there's no harm in starting early, because that's a big advantage. Time is of essence. And I'm just trying to use the opportunity. I've also really adopted the way other people, you know, professionally behave in this space from observing how people act. So that has also maybe helped me in becoming a bit more mature and professional with the way I talk, generally speaking. So definitely, I think most people have that issue. But trying to help people understand that, you know, it's time, you know, eventually you have to do something, and time, you know, is ticking, and hopefully the earlier the better, right? It's like a head start, you know?
Definitely. And if you had to give perhaps three pieces of advice to someone your age, perhaps, who's trying to get into the field and who doesn't know where to start, what would it be? How to surround yourself with the good people, what to watch, who to trust, because there's so many influencers nowadays, some good ones, some terrible ones. You can find everything online, but not everything has the same value. It's kind of I think a bit overwhelming.
Yeah, it's way too saturated. That's one of the biggest issues. There's just so many of everything that it's so difficult to understand what's the right thing, right? So I would say, in terms of how, the best three advice is, number one is to definitely have someone supporting you. I think entering the space initially is very difficult by yourself. And having someone that's at least in the space or doing it with you is going to help you enormously with how you actually develop. On the second side is obviously education and a proper development plan. Like, most people may do something like, oh, I want to enter the space, right? I'm going to learn this, but what's next? Like, that's the biggest factor as well. Having a roadmap, which is a step-by-step guide of what you want to achieve, let's say every month, and hitting those targets every month is not only motivational and makes you actually try to finish them, because it's like a bit of a proactive benefiting thing, but also the fact that you can actually examine and observe the development you're doing, having a nice roadmap. And this roadmap, you should consist of mainly of knowledgeable things and educational material of what you're doing. Sources is a bit of an interesting one, I would say, because, you know, there's a lot of interesting sources. Some, you know, not as good as the others, have maybe a bad impression. But I would say, you know, strictly focusing on educational material, the source generally does not too much matter, I would say, if it's educational, because they're usually talking about the same thing. But every educational source talks about it in their own way. So I would just say to examine those different educational sources and find the one that best suits you, because everyone has a different way to learn and everyone talks a different way. Yeah. So finding the best source of education, finding the best channel, maybe best books that actually fit your personal, you know, educational thesis. So that's what I would say as well. Third is definitely to understand that this is not going to take one day. I mean, I think mindset is one of the most important things. The psychology is a big thing. Most people may do like 10 hours of work in a day and then have a burnout. Others may not do enough because they're not as dedicated. So it's very important to stay motivated and have a nice dedicated plan to actually doing what you're wanting to do, not today, but let's say in a year later. Because if you want to enter the space, you need to think very long term, and you can't go to where you want to be in a week. You know, you need to take those baby steps. And I think everyone has to be aware that this is going to take a very, very long time. Like me, for example, right? Just as a comparison, back in January, I barely knew anything back in January, but my goal was to improve myself to myself the day before. That was my main drive. So by improving myself the day before, I would then keep going like that, comparing myself to only myself, no one else, and improving myself just inside myself. That's it. So those are the three pieces of advice I would say if someone's trying to enter the space. And those are generally what I would recommend that people focus on, because those are very important aspects that can make a healthy growth trajectory and healthy entry into the market.
And I think the pieces of advice that you gave are applicable to absolutely anything in life, right? If you want to excel in something, you have to be dedicated, you have to be patient, you have to surround yourself with the right people. So this is definitely applicable for everything else in life. And if you had perhaps, this one might be a bit more difficult, but have you ever had, I don't know, for example, someone older regarding you as different or maybe more incompetent because of your age? Have you ever felt this kind of discrimination, or was it always a positive experience? I was like, oh, wow, this guy is so impressive. Oh my God, he's only 16, he's only 17, and he's doing all these things.
Yeah, actually, this was a big issue. So initially, when I first entered the space, right, I was not as confident in myself as I am today. Mm-hmm. So I would be really not as talkative and sharing my ideas in those meetings, those face-to-face talks with other people about what I'm talking about. So this was a big thing. And whenever I would say my age, you know, me being not confident, the confidence would be lowered immensely on myself. Relating to the other person, however, I've never really felt that form of change in attitude just because of my age. In fact, okay. I've noticed that the person's actually a bit more bullish and more eager to actually be connected to you based on your age. Because like myself, right, when I look back, I'm really mad at myself for thinking that way. Like, oh, you know, I got really not confident when I said, you know, I'm at this age. And the main reason was because I wasn't confident as much as what I'm saying. But the person in front of me was never really like that. I've never really experienced that. I think most people also understand that the next generation that's going to take this full industry forward is generally the younger generation. And seeing those come forward, I think most people in the space have a helping hand and also see a lot of potential. When they see such a young person at this level, like talking to them, it means that means a lot. So on that sense, I don't think anyone else that I've talked to, from what I have noticed at least, has treated me in any other way after noticing that my age. Most people haven't even realized that. They say, you know, you're 16 or you're 17, but you act like you're 25. So
it's true. It's completely true. The way you talk, I have never met you in real life, unfortunately, but I also felt the exact same way. When I speak to you, I don't think of your age at all.
Definitely. Yeah. That's a big thing as well. Thanks for that. And yeah, I mean, I think most new people also need to realize that the people in the Web3 space are always willing to help you out, especially if you're looking for guidance. It could be anyone. Like, you could ask them a few questions. The people in the space love to talk. That's the big thing. They love to talk about what they do, what they're good at, their opinions. Obviously, take the opinions in a grain of salt, but you know, the knowledge side, that's everything that people will love to give. So I think that's another opportunity. With everyone you talk to, try to extract information from the experts. Like, that's something that I underutilized immensely, that I regret to this day. With everyone you talk to, you can get so much valuable information from their years of their experience and what they're doing. And these are like experts' opinions on what they're experts in. So definitely, I don't see any problem that I've faced with people with the age issue. Rather, it's actually been a bit more of a opportunity and a bit more of an advantage, mm-hmm. exactly, to maybe even working together and being friends, having them as a connection, and just talking to them, because they always have a helping hand.
Fantastic. Where do you see yourself in 17 years? So you'll be around 34, 35. Very hard question.
Ooh, this is a very difficult one. Honestly, this thing is, right? I think the situation really depends on the market itself and what blockchain is 17 years later. So it's a bit of an uncertainty. I think generally speaking, there are certain aspects of what blockchain is going to become in, let's say, a decade. But 17 years from now, I don't think anyone knows the scale of what blockchain is going to be. And I think that's one of the biggest factors that I'm actually like correlating my thoughts on that on, like how big is it going to be, how many people have adopted it. what have people done? But honestly, I'm really uncertain, even after having so many thoughts about this, so many different types of things that people do, I'm still very unsure. I think over time, this will be a bit more clear to my side, but it's a long way ahead. And I'm just, you know, just currently still thinking. I'm just thinking of myself today before, just trying to improve myself and seeing where that gets me at least. So not sure.
Quite a nuanced and wise answer. I did not expect it. I thought, you know, you're going to be super bullish.
Must be humble.
And everything, but I think you're right to be that nuanced, because we don't know what happens. And I feel like we people in this space, we kind of live in our own world. And we don't sometimes get out of it and see that, you know, this might not go exactly where we want to go. But still, I think there are still some good indications that blockchain is here to stay and crypto is here to stay.
I mean, it's growing faster than the internet when it did in the 90s. And look how big the internet is today. I think it solves every single problem that everyone's facing, generally speaking. So I think that's one of the biggest bullishness aspects of crypto. I do think crypto will be one of the biggest things adoption-wise in the world, the same way the internet has. But the question is how fast is it going to take place, because there's a lot of uncertainties in many different aspects that are going to affect this. But yeah, definitely couldn't agree more with you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anyways, Emery, if you had to pass on a message to yourself for when you're 35, let's say, in double your age from now, what would it be?
Ooh, all right. I think I would tell myself in 17 years later to still prioritize the main reason why I entered the space in the beginning. I think, you know, over time, some motives may change. This is very possible with what people are trying to achieve and what they're working in. But I think I always want my main mission and vision and passion to be what my core and initial vision was to be, to help people, to help the industry, and to help excel and adopt it. So if I could say anything to myself, you know, 17 years from now, it would be that, you know, please stick to these things. Hope you're still sticking to these things. And hopefully you are still sticking to helping people, helping other people get to where you are today, and helping other new people like yourself when you were 17 excel to their full potential.
Beautiful. Well, thank you so much, Emery, for your time. It was amazing interviewing you. I hope you had fun.
Of course. Thank you so much for having me, Stella. I really appreciate the time.
Thank you for listening to the Blockchain Practitioners podcast, and we hope you learned something new about blockchain and digital currency today. If you're involved in an interesting blockchain project and would like to talk about it in a similar fashion to this episode you just listened, feel free to reach out to us. Also, please like, rate, and share this podcast to anyone you think would like it. If you'd like more information about this project, you can follow us on LinkedIn or visit our website, blockchainpractitioners.com. Thanks again for listening, and see you at the next episode.